After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest right now? Are you feeling lonely, unappreciated, or misunderstood? When you keep these feelings bottled up, they can affect you negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's a great way to increase your self-awareness, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/beherenow.
Not only is our health, from the immune system point of view, being directly influenced by the gut, but because of the production of neurotransmitters and because of the regular communication that happens between the gut and the brain, a substantial amount of the influences that that affect our psychologies are also emerging from the gut itself.
Welcome to Living with Reality, a podcast featuring archived teachings and modern conversations with Dr. Robert Svoboda, brought to you by the Be Here Now Network. Living with Reality explores Ayurveda and other wisdom traditions of India, which Dr. Svoboda has been studying for nearly 50 years. For more information, please visit beherenownetwork.com/Dr. Svoboda. That's DRSVOBODA.
Hello, and welcome to Living with Reality. I'm Paula Crossfield, your host and Dr. Svoboda's business collaborator. As you might be able to hear, I have a cold this week, but I wanted to get this episode to you because we are featuring Dr. Svoboda in conversation with Scott Blossom, who is an Ayurvedic practitioner and Chinese medicine doctor, as that some of you may know, and they collaborated together to produce a 32-hour course on Ayurveda and the microbiome. So the science behind the microbiome and how Ayurveda aligns with that science with very practical tips. And the courses, there's four of them. Each of them focuses on a different area of the body. So there's one on the gut-brain axis and how that affects mental health. There's another one on the oral microbiome, such an important one. The content in that one alone blew me away. So they're giving a little bit of an overview here, but the reason is because currently you can get this bundle of courses for 50% off. So that's only $247. You can get all four of these courses only from November 22nd to the 28th. So do take advantage of that. We will have the link available for you in show notes on, you know, the website at Be Here Now, but you can also find it at Instagram at Dr. Robert Svoboda. You can find it on Facebook, or if you're on his newsletter list, you'll be able to see it there because we'll have some emails going out about it. So do check it out. And so without further ado, here is the interview between Dr. Robert Svoboda and Scott Blossom.
I'm here today with Dr. Scott Blossom, and we're going to be discussing something about the microbiome and how it relates to Ayurveda. And I think there are two points that are the overarching points that need to be made. Number one is that over this past 10 to 15 years, the very concept of and details about the microbiome have been transforming modern medicine. And number two, even though the microbiome is not spoken of as such per se in Ayurveda, it is very clear when one looks at Ayurveda from the perspective of the microbiome and when one looks at the microbiome from the perspective of Ayurveda that the understanding of, among other things, Agni in Ayurveda is intimately connected to the understanding of the microbiome. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Scott?
I would, and thank you very much for having me join you, and I enjoyed doing this course with you very much back a few years ago. And one of the big discoveries for me as I got very nerdy about the science of the microbiome was the realization that the microbiome, it is total. It is comprehensive in the influence that it has on the body and the way that the body influences it. And so when you look at systems of medicine that come from a perspective that is called holistic, because it takes in a systems approach to the whole organism, including the subtle functions of the mind and heart and the spirit, that a system like Ayurveda, as well as traditional Chinese medicine, which is something I'm already also trained in and licensed in, is both of those systems, in a lot of ways, fulfill what the science of the microbiome is making very clear about how we move toward, a more sustainable path toward human health and longevity.
And I think it's important here to emphasize that one of the things that is really dramatically changing in modern medicine is the understanding that human beings who like to think of themselves as being individuals and human organisms really are meta-organisms. We would not exist without all of these tens of trillions of other cells and things that are not even cells, like viruses. All of these things that are part of the environment, not just external to us, but very much internal to us, on top of us. And even though the microbiome may be something that is, effectively speaking, if not separate, then it at least segregated away from the human cells to a substantial degree in any one human individual, more than one-third of the genes in the human genome have a bacterial origin, and at least 8% of the genes in the human genome are old viruses. So we're talking about an entire reality, microbial reality, that is co-evolving with human beings, that is facilitating human evolution, and therefore can't really be understood without some sort of appreciation of the fundamental role that the microbiome plays in it. And that, of course, is why we created this course that we did, a course that has, so far as I can tell, only continued to become more and more topical and more pertinent as time continues to go forward.
Yeah, and the one of the things that was held to be discrete from a scientific perspective about human beings that's now being profoundly challenged by microbiome science is the idea that the brain, the immune system, and the genome of the human were somehow sovereign and isolated or separate from the outer realities. And now we know that conclusively that every single one of those systems is touched by, influenced by, regulated by, educated by the microbiome. And so in the course, we go into the gut-brain science. We also go into about the oral microbiome, which has huge implications for things like brain health and heart health. We go into the way that the microbiome functions at the level of the skin, which has big implications for the immune function of the body. We also go into the subject of how the microbiome operates in the reproductive organs.
70 to 80% of all the immune cells in the body are in the gut. Probably 70% of the serotonin in the body is produced in the gut. So this the nervous system, the immune system, the genome, when all three of these very stereotypically human structures are very much being influenced by the microbiome. And that also indicates that our not only is our health from the immune system point of view being directly influenced by the gut, but because of the production of neurotransmitters and because of the regular communication that happens between the gut and the brain, a substantial amount of the influences that that affect our psychologies are also emerging from the gut itself.
Yes, and this is where, coming back to one of the first points we made, when you look at life from a holistic perspective, you don't separate mood, cognition from the health of the body. It's a two-way street. And one of the sort of places that is a primary site for advanced microbiome research in the biological world is the College Cork in Ireland. And one of their researchers, Harriet Schellekens, was quoted as saying, "We need to adapt a holistic way of thinking that accounts for the full complexity of the interconnection between our gut, our mind, and the trillions of microbes that live in our gastrointestinal system and in other sites of the body." And so this admission from, you know, kind of, you could say, a hard scientist, that their thinking is adapting around a holistic way of looking at it, obviously plays very well to what we attempted to do in this course, which was make connections between this holistic and systems approach from Ayurveda with the microbiome science.
I think it's particularly noteworthy and telling that people talk about so-called hard science as if it was something that was separated from softer sciences like sociology or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're, by virtue of describing even something like physics, chemistry, or in this case, medicine as a hard science, that encourages people to think about the organism in hard kind of ways. So it's been known for probably pretty much ever that if the gut is perforated and you have maybe 18 hours or so before there, you will have generalized peritonitis that will have a fatal termination. So we know that it's important to have a barrier between the microbiome that's inside the gut and the rest of the body. And for a long time, of course, using that hardness, that concept, that attribute of hardness as part of the ruling way of thinking, scientists have assumed that really there was a hard and fast separation between the two. In fact, the barrier between the two is very indeed selectively permeable. We want good things to be taken in. We want not so good things to be removed. But it is now becoming clear just the degree to which the microbiome itself has to do with supporting, maintaining, and repairing the permeability of that barrier that exists between the gut and the rest of the body. And just today, I read an interesting article on Medscape, which is an MD-oriented web service, about gut barrier disruption. That means what happens when this barrier, which is very thin, really, it's the dynamic part of the barrier, the gut itself is rather thick compared to the dynamic portion at the margin, at the boundary between the microbiome and the human cells. And when this barrier is disrupted, and it can be very subtly disrupted, it can be dramatically disrupted, but whenever the precise conditions that are optimal for the barrier between the microbiome and the rest of the body, whenever those optimal conditions are disturbed, then what happens is there is a disruption in function. And the disruption in function, of course, produces diseases not just like irritable bowel disease and celiac, but also such things as multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, obesity. All of these things are strongly influenced by an imbalance, an insufficiency of good function of that barrier between the gut and the rest of the body.
Yeah, and this is, you know, for people who are maybe less science-oriented, the implications with that are really enormous, because you're talking about a relationship between the human biology and microbial biology, which has its primary expression as immune responses. And so for robust immunity to be in place, we have to create healthy relationships. And this is precisely what Ayurveda is advocating as well, is that we understand from concepts like constitution, prakriti in Ayurveda, that we have a unique proclivity toward balance or imbalance. We also know that our internal proclivities toward imbalance or balance in our lives and our health is deeply, profoundly influenced by our social environment, by our natural environment. And that's precisely what is being unearthed from microbiome science. You know, for example, it's now well established that our gut microbiome is primarily influenced by the people that we live with. And that would be the people we're breaking bread with, the people we're having healthy or not healthy social relationships with, the spaces we inhabit, the way those spaces are kept, et cetera. And so this is hopefully presenting this kind of micro-macro vision of the way that, again, you can use the lens of Ayurveda to really work with some of the most important opportunities that the microbiome science is presenting for us taking control of our own health.
It certainly is definitely the case that not only is politics local, but the microbiome is also local. In fact, I recently read that a substantial percentage, I think it was 8 or 10% of the microbiome, is similar in people who live not only in the same house, not merely in the same neighborhood, but in an entire village. Mm-hmm. So just being in a locality is going to cause you to be sharing the microbiome with a number of other people. And so this is an important the increasing realizations that people are having are particularly important, not just because of how important they are, but because of, for example, the movement that finally is happening in the awareness of medical science of in the modern world about how it is not how important it is to understand that not just many, but most conditions that are created in human beings are multifactorial. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, we've been trying to find the magic bullet, and we've been trying to find the real cause. But all too often, there is more than one cause for what is happening. And unless you at least appreciate the breadth of the different causative factors and which causative factors are particularly important in any one individual, it's going to be easy to spend all of your time looking for a particular tree when you should really be looking at the forest as a whole.
Absolutely. And that it's such a good example too of of, for example, the topic of probiotics, which is always on the mind of somebody when they consider the microbiome. And the probiotics are the beneficial bacteria that have been researched and contribute to human health, whereas they can be supplemented, but they are actually the main thing that you need for a healthy microbiome is a diverse diet, especially a diet that has diversity of plant fibers, meaning plant-based foods. And the current recommendation, which we reinforce in our course, is that if you're eating approximately 30 unique plant foods a week, you will be creating enough diversity in your food intake to really promote the cornerstone quality of the gut, which is healthy diversity of microorganism that exists there. And so whereas the prebiotic side of things comes from those plants, the probiotic side of them will become something that you can use specifically for things like helping reduce inflammation in your gut, helping to promote your immune system, very targeted ways to support your health if you need it. And I should say that I've been really enjoying the fact that the diagnostic science around the gut has been evolving rapidly, and it does offer a lot of support from me as somebody who practices from the perspective of Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. It offers a lot of support for how to target what I try to do with people when there are gut issues that they come into the clinic with.
I think it's useful to note here that taking probiotics is not likely to change your microbiome. In fact, somebody recently commented that taking probiotics is like dropping 10,000 tons of rainforest seeds on top of a temperate forest, and you will certainly get some plants who will grow and who will start to become comfortable there and who will potentially become even endemic there. But it's not going to convert a tropical forest into a rainforest because it's a different situation. What the probiotics can do is they do tend to encourage anti-inflammatory conditions in the area in which they are living and passing through. So there is potential. And when I'm in tropical countries, I often tend to take probiotics, particularly because I want to compete with the pathogens that are in the neighborhood. So probiotics can be useful, but thinking that you're going to take probiotics and somehow change your microbiome is unfortunately a bit of magical thinking.
Right. The subject of the microbiome can easily become a very science-rich discussion. But again, all of the implications are that this is a system that we have as humans. We have delegated survival level functions to the microbiome, survival level genetic function as well. And so when we recognize that radical symbiosis, and radical meaning root, that foundational symbiosis that it represents, that there are countless ways that we can make small changes to our diet, small changes to our behaviors, small changes to our daily routines to support what we would call health. But we're also, with every one of those actions, impacting the different microbiomes of the body, whether it is, for example, in Ayurveda, putting oil on the skin that is recommended as part of our daily routine. It turns out that the sesame oil that is one of the favorites in Ayurvedic medicine is called a skin mimetic oil, which means it has the same acid balance as the sebum, the oils that are produced by the human skin. So it's very much a natural situation of reinforcing something that the body does on its own so that the the microbiome that actually lives on that oil that either the body makes, or if you apply a skin mimetic that's good quality like sesame oil, that you can nourish all of the systems of the body in a way that is very do-it-yourself. And that really the take-home point is that when you put them together, when you constellate all those little individual actions and efforts that you can make, that that is what contributes to actual longevity. It's, again, not the magic bullet or the heroic medical action that takes you there.
Yes, it's also the case that while there's chiefly one way for any particular individual to live life in order to be healthy, there are many ways to become unhealthy. And it's worthwhile being well aware of the fact that many of the factors that discourage a healthy microbiome, that encourage abnormality in the permeability of that barrier between the gut and the rest of the body, many of these things are things that are quite abnormal. In fact, I have a list I'd like to read out, and begins with acrolein, which is the kind of chemicals that you get when oils are brought to their smoke point. So if you have, or, you know, if you are eating a lot of fried food that has come from a fast food restaurant where they don't change the oil very often, then you're probably consuming quite a bit of this acrolein that is just automatically in and of itself going to aggravate this this very important we can even think of the barrier. You know, barrier is a word that sounds like it is keeping things out, but it's a barrier in the sense that it is the relationship membrane. It is the way that the gut and the interior of the body can relate. And so when we have things that disturb that relationship, that is disturbing all kinds of other relationships within us. So beginning with acrolein, including aging, which of course affects everybody, alcohol, which in small amounts is very good for digestion and large amounts destroys many, many parts of the organism. Antacids, antibiotics, chemotherapy, disruption to your circadian rhythms, corticosteroids, emulsifiers, which are present in many kinds of ultra-processed foods, exercising more than 2 hours at a time at your more or less your maximum, starvation, fructose, as in high fructose corn syrup, fructans, gliadin, which is one of the proteins in wheat, the high fat, high salt, high sugar diet, the low fiber diet, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, pesticides, radiation, smoking, artificial sweeteners, and such other things as psychological stress, sleep deprivation, and even things like being burned. So there's all sorts of things that are actively discouraging the relationship between the microbiome and the organism, particularly the gut microbiome and the organism, which interact with one another along this membrane, along this barrier. So when that barrier is disturbed, the relationship is disturbed, and then problems start to occur. Many of the things that I mentioned here are integral to the modern so-called diet, particularly in places like the U.S., where a vast number of people consume fast food on a daily basis. Fast food is maybe fast, at least initially, but it is not going to promote anything other than dysbiosis in the gut and distress in the rest of the organism. Mm.
Yeah, so that makes me think of one of my favorite episodes was the one that we did with Dr. Claudia Welch about the reproductive microbiome. And especially that, you know, ranging from something like having less likelihood of having urinary tract infection or yeast infection, all the way to actually regulating the reproductive hormones by making choices like you were just talking about, making choices that actually influence the gut barrier health and the gut health in general, and how that has a regulating effect on reproductive hormone metabolism. So not just production, but also the breakdown and elimination of the hormones that rule reproduction. It reminds me, too, that a couple of key foods that we emphasized in that episode was something like flax seeds. And the flax seeds, when they're freshly ground, have incredible fiber. They also have, they're just nutrient dense, but it turns out that one of the fibers in them actually is a primary regulator of hormonal balance, not in the sense of pushing one hormone in one direction or another, but actually because the microbes that prefer that fiber for their food are intricately linked in regulating things like, for example, estrogen up or estrogen down, depending on a person's system and what they need.
And I think that this is why both Chinese medicine and Ayurveda are really superior in the way that they look at health and disease, and they look at that from the perspective of homeostasis, from the perspective of their being a harmony that needs to be generated not only between the individual and their environment, but also within the individual. And simply by eating a high fiber diet with including fermented food, restricting your eating to, if at all possible, 8 hours a day, but even 12 hours a day, and not eating so that your gut will have plenty of time to perform essential maintenance that other 12 hours, exercising moderately but regularly on a daily basis, and doing things for the vagus nerve, including things like acupuncture and yoga, all of these things are going to facilitate the maintenance of this homeostasis, this balance in the way that the gut microbiome and the organism made up of the human cells, the way that that relationship is going to be able to continue and move forward.
As usual, very excellently and eloquently said, and I just encourage everybody to check out the course. There's 32 hours of content. It's extremely robust and has so much potential for being a cornerstone in how you support your own health. And it's going to be a Black Friday sale, so you can get it at a deal on top of that.
Such good news. Dr. Scott, great to talk to you as always.
Dr. Svoboda, always good to talk with you as well.
And may everyone have a very exciting, enthusiastic, and productive Black Friday, as well as the rest of your year and the rest of your life and the rest of your microbiome's life as well.
That's right. May you and your microbiome continue to be as harmonious as possible.
Indeed.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest right now? Are you feeling lonely, unappreciated, or misunderstood? When you keep these feelings bottled up, they can affect you negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's a great way to increase your self-awareness, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.